Good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show. You're listening right across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88, wherever you are on the Faith FM network. And this morning, you are joined by myself and my good friend Denny, who up until about 10 seconds ago was not in the room.
You're looking very sheepish.
Yeah, I hadn't seen you this morning, and then all of a sudden I see this long, lanky thing bolt through the door. Denny, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing really well. I like to be right on time.
Okay.
Like, right to the second.
Okay, well,
like, I'm one of these NASA to the second people.
Okay, well,
Not really. That was really bad news.
But,
I made it.
If we were in the military, you'd still be late.
Look, if we were getting into Noah's Ark, I would have been, like, last person in.
Okay.
Last person
Literally,
in.
The door is starting to lift up off the ground.
Exactly.
And you've jumped on it,
and
basically.
Just like in a Hollywood movie, you know, how they just, like, right on
the I actually saw you commando roll through the door. I don't know if you saw that. It must have been like a rush of adrenaline for you, but I saw you commando roll into a somersault, actually, onto the chair.
It was pretty
cool. So, no, we're really stoked to have you here, Denny.
I'm very glad to be here.
Joining us on this Tuesday morning. You know, obviously, you frequent the studio every Wednesday afternoon for the Looking Up show, but we're happy to have you here joining us.
The morning is extra special, extra special.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of a croaky voice, so I've got more of a mature voice this morning.
Okay. Is that just that it's early?
I might keep it. I'm going to see if I can keep that voice for as long as possible.
You know, just, bring
it
some more respectability.
Yeah, more maturity.
To you.
And just, more knowledge, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I feel that. Man, I have had people when I get sick and I get a croaky voice, they're like, Lawson, you sound older. Like, what happened? And then, then my voice comes back in and it's like, oh, back to my young self, which is nice. Well, coming up in today's news, we are going to be talking about food falling out of the sky. We are also going to be, I'm sure, Denny, you have some great and interesting things to say. We're going to have Creation Ministries International, speaker from there on for our interview and getting into our Bible study in the sun.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Going by myself, Lawson, got my friend Big Denny in the studio.
Big Dan.
Getting it done.
Last second Dan.
Yeah.
Let's call him last second Dan.
Yeah.
Let's call him out for what he is.
Nah, well, hey, we're glad you're here nonetheless, that you could join us on The Breakfast Show. Let's get into our quiz. Do you want to give us that first question, Denny?
Okay, folk, listen in. First question. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is what from which psalm?
Yeah.
Is from what psalm?
Yeah. 0491-064-669. Maybe it's a prescription thing.
I think it might be
a glass. Didn't you want to read that one for us again?
Let's try again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is from what psalm?
Okay, if you know the answer to that one, 0491-064-669. And we are giving away for our prize this week a Faith FM show bag. It is going to have amazing things. It's going to have music. It's going to have books. It's going to have DVDs, probably. Shout out Kingdom Come, an amazing DVD that we're going to be putting in there. Even some Faith FM merch as well. So you guys are going to be really, really blessed by that if you win. Again, that number is 0491-064-669. And that question was, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What psalm is that from? 0491-064-669. Hey, happening in good news this morning, did you see the video? I said that my news would be about food falling from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that video of all of the meals being delivered into Israel for the Palestinians?
Some 32,000 or something like that.
Yeah, it was more than 30,000 meals that were dropped in, out of planes and whatnot. It was
United States.
The United States, yeah, helped by the Jordanian, the military there, their air force. And yeah, I was watching the video of it, the people like running in to get the food. Like, it looked hectic. it almost looked kind of terrifying. I was like, oh, this is because someone had like kind of POV on the ground footage of like running to get the food. And everyone is kind of scrambling to get in and to get this meal assistance. But, hey, you know, it's still fantastic to know and to hear and to understand, that there is aid going to these places that are desperate and dying.
It's not near enough. No, it's like a drop in the bucket, literally.
That's right. And I think the problem is despite the efforts that governments can make to help these situations, they can never do enough. Like the governments of countries can never donate enough. They can never, they can never act in a way that is enough. And it's not that they're physically or incapable to do so, or literally incapable to do so. But simultaneously, you know, I think of the place where the United States is in at the moment. We talk about the debt crisis over there that they're currently and constantly going through. Yeah, to continually to add things to the budget, like, oh, we need to do overseas and foreign aid when you don't even generate enough revenue to, you know, pay for every single government position in your country. There is, yeah, some real difficulties there.
They generate more than enough funds. They spend almost $1 trillion in armament. They spend more than the next 10 countries combined. So the United States does pump a lot of money into various sectors that it values highly. And obviously this is a highly political issue.
Yes.
What's taking place there in Gaza. There's also a lot at stake from a religious point of view because you've got the evangelicals in the United States that are very supportive of Israel, and then you've got the Democrats that are more so supportive of the Palestinians and so forth. And so it's a highly volatile political situation. It's kind of like a political tightrope that the current administration there is walking. So
yeah, absolutely.
And not to mention, it's just a total mess. And that's why I believe that, you know, the Lord at his coming is the only one that can truly make things right, because there just will not be a political situation in the Middle East. Mark my words, it just won't be. It's going to have to come outside of that, because it's too messed up over a long period of time. It's too ingrained. I've been to the Middle East. There's just no way there's a political or a human situation in sight.
Now, we can look forward to the work that God will do in this space.
That's the only hope.
The barriers that he will break down. And, you know, the end of all nations, essentially. Yeah, when we see, like my mind goes to the statue in Daniel chapter 2 that represents the nations throughout history. It's a prophetic message there. And, you know, we see that at the end of that prophecy, we see the destruction of that statue. Essentially, we see the end of political nations. We see the end of conflict in that sense, because the final conflict is really over sin, between humanity and between, you know, God and Satan. Everyone needs to make their choice between righteousness and sin. And the good news is that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for us to enable us that choice. Furthermore, he offers us the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us in that choice. But that being said, I think it also is powerful that we have the ability to support our brothers and sisters in these nations. And, you know, I was just looking into some of the charities that are doing really impactful work there. The first one that comes to my mind is obviously ADRA, that are helping displaced people to find housing in these areas. But also you have the likes of NERA, Direct Relief, World Vision, Save the Children, Life for Relief Department, NATAL, Doctors Without Borders, UNICEF, and Mercy Without Limits. Like all of these fantastic charities that are working in these spaces that, yeah, you know, you might not have the ability to directly impact the government's decision on how they should help Israel or the Palestinian situation or whatever it may be, but what you can do is help those working independently to do that amazing work. And there are some who are even compelled to get over there on the ground to be helping people there, but at the very least, you know, to support these people, you know, monetarily, financially, with the means and the gains that we have from here in Australia is fantastic.
You know what's interesting, Lawson? The Bible in the book of Revelation talks about how God is going to put an end to this. And it makes a beautiful promise in Revelation 7:16-17, which I'd like to read. It says, "They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore, The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's a beautiful promise of what's to come. No more hunger, no more need for dropping food parcels, and no more need for clean water. There's almost a billion people on the planet that don't have access to clean water. We can't imagine that. Yeah, we don't understand that. And so there'll be no more of that, because the Lamb, Jesus Christ, he will be with his people. So there's an end to the sin and the suffering and the sorrow. It's coming, and I believe it's not far distant.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we see, you know, these conflicts unfold in our world, we can take hope in knowing that the greater the conflict, the greater, you know, God's retribution is ultimately the restoring of this world. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We definitely have something to look forward to. And it's also great to know that, yeah, Israel and Palestine is not the, the only conflict happening in the world. And like, despite the sadness that comes along with that, it's also great to know that there are, yeah, charities and whatnot working in these spaces. I just still think of talks about Russia and Ukraine, although the war is still very much active over there. You had a statement coming out last night from the defense minister there, just saying, look, Ukraine's part of Russia now. That's where we're at. But it's good to know that despite this conflict and despite we can continue to see that this conflict will go on, that people are working in these spaces to help the unfortunate, the victims of these kinds of conflicts. And, ADRA put out a statement, you know, talking about the humanitarian work that they're doing there, providing food, water, shelter, blankets and clothing, and again, finding places for the displaced to be able to looked after. So really fantastic stuff. Despite these conflicts, Jesus is working. He's working through, you know, even at times, you know, the Bible says all good things comes down from the Father of lights. And, you know, even at times, it's nice that the American government, or the government of the US, can send food, you know, down in parachutes. It's fantastic that charitable organizations can work as well. But we also know that people are working to help these people, to provide them comfort in time of need, but also to lead them to Christ as well. And we can really take hope in that.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Joined by myself, Lawson. Got Danny in the studio as well. We're in here, mate, living our best lives, just getting it done. And right now we are going to have our next quiz question. All right, guys, fill in the blank.
Okay. Where does this... Well, you need to fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank,
fill in the blank. Am I my brother's something? Complained Cain.
Yeah, okay. Am I my brother's... something. If you know the answer to that one, 0491-064-669. That is the number to text. We had a text coming through with like plenty of answers, as well as Sky writing in, I'd love that show bag. You definitely would. It would be a blessing to you. You'd get Faith of Him merch. You would get some amazing things, some books, some music, the Kingdom Come DVD. Like, we're sending it all through to you. It will be a 100%. It will be a blessing to you. So, hey, 0491-064-669. That is the number to text. And again, fill in the blank. Am I my brother's blank?
That was something that Cain complained
about. 0491-064-669.
Genesis chapter 4. Just a
That's
quick
right.
Genesis
oh, chapter mate, 4. Oh, mate, you're a very charitable person.
Yeah, well, we need to, especially when it's the morning breakfast show.
Yeah, okay.
We love good...
You go harder on the
afternoon show.
Yeah. No mercy.
No mercy, no grace.
All right. Hey, what is happening in the world of positively different news this morning?
Positively different news. You're talking to the wrong person.
I should say...
The positively different...
Current and around the world.
The positive news is all the things that are going on around us that are telling us our world is launching into a greater mess day by day, tells us that Jesus is coming soon. That's the positive news. The positive news. And that's why we call our Wednesday afternoon show the Looking Up Show, because Jesus said, when you see all this craziness taking place, and I'm paraphrasing, look up, because your redemption is drawing near. And so I want to just continue on with this theme. Folk may be tuning in, they may be tuning out, but the world is becoming more precarious. We just talked about, you know, the food drops there in the Gaza Strip and, you know, the war in Ukraine also. There's about 70 or 80 different wars and skirmishes going on around the world as we speak. Mm-hmm. And so that's a continual thing. Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and those labor pains would intensify. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." And I looked at that word perilous, and in the original, it literally means times of stress.
Mm.
And they're the times that we're living in. And it also says in Revelation 11, verse 18, in the context of the coming of Jesus, that there would come a time when humans would be able to destroy the earth, have the potential to destroy the earth. Nations were angry, the Bible says, and your wrath has come. Now, it's really fascinating that, just in the last few days, we had the French president suggest that, you know, NATO wouldn't count it out to put boots on the ground there in Ukraine, which would be a red line for the Russians.
Mm.
And so our Russian friend Putin warned NATO that if that happens, they will be staring down the barrel of a potential nuclear war.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Putin warns, this is from Reuters, so March 1, which was what, a couple of days ago? Yeah. Putin warns West of risk of nuclear war, says Moscow can strike Western targets.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
Yeah. So President Putin told the Western countries on Thursday they risk provoking a nuclear war if they sent troops to fight in Ukraine, warning that Moscow had the weapons to strike targets in the West. And he goes on and he talks about, you know, the importance of just, you know, doing what you need to do. In fact, he sent a tweet out and he said, yeah, he sent a tweet and he sent,
I think they're called Zeets now because it's like X.com. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
He said, if Ukraine joins NATO, this was in connection with joining NATO as well. Mm. So this is a separate thing. Because NATO's Secretary General, Jan Stoltenberg, said Kiev's future lies in the Western Defense Alliance.
Mm.
So Ukraine will join NATO. It's not a question of if, but a question of when, is what he said. So he's poking the bear, literally, because Russia's symbolized by the bear, you know, poking the bear, literally. And our mate Putin said, if Ukraine joins NATO, you won't even have time to blink your eye when you execute Article 5.
Wow.
So Article 5 is like, you know, when one nation is attacked by anyone in NATO, that means they're all attacked. You know what I mean? It's all in one, you know?
Yeah.
One for all for one, so to speak. And so this is the world that we're at, and it's very, very precarious. In fact, Sky News. You heard of Sky News?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Sky News, they had a little doco, and the headline was Brink of World War III. We're on the brink of World War III. So whichever way you take a look at the news, it's not looking positive. The United States, here's another headline in this, and this is all telling us that what Jesus told us, what the Bible tells us, is actually coming to pass. Because we are living on the brink, and Jesus is coming. That doomsday clock is heading to midnight, and that tells us that Jesus is coming. This was an interesting headline here. U.S. warns allies Russia could put a nuclear weapon into orbit this year.
Wow.
Now you're thinking, what on earth
would you want a nuclear weapon into orbit?
You know why? That way you can knock out the satellites.
Mm.
And guess how we run our world?
Through satellites.
Through satellites, exactly. So this is a nuclear war, not here on the ground, but a nuclear war up.
And furthermore, as well, having a nuclear weapon up in orbit, I imagine that it would be easier to hit ground targets as well because of the satellite's capabilities to, you know, be able to reposition itself rather than just having like a stationary launching place in Moscow, say. It can get itself over the top of any one of these countries and just go for it. So it's pretty, that's gnarly.
It is gnarly. So all these things are telling us that Jesus is coming soon. Mm-hmm. And that's the bottom line. So it's interesting, you know, that doomsday clock as it heads to midnight, that metaphor Jesus came up with, and he talked about it in Matthew 25:6. Mm. It says that at midnight, the cry was heard. Mm. You know, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to me. And it's interesting, Lawson, you'll know that it was at midnight that God delivered his children Israel from Egypt.
Mm.
The 10th and final plague struck at midnight, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And guess when Paul and Silas were delivered out of prison when that earthquake hit?
Yeah, at midnight.
At midnight. So midnight is this biblical metaphor for the darkest time in human history when God intervenes. Mm. And so when we see world on the brink of World War III, we see all these crazy headlines. Mm. This tells us that we need to be doing what Luke 21, 28 says. And I'm gonna read out. Our Faith FM looking up show passage. Yeah. I have to. Do you have a looking up passage for the breakfast show?
We are not looking up.
No, you're not looking
you
up.
You are looking up. Let us know what is the passage there.
Here it is. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now when you see all these things happen, look up, because your redemption is drawing near. Folk, we are going home. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, now I'm back.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on the afternoon, Wednesday afternoon show.
Yeah, and I love that as well.
But really, we're going home.
That's right.
These headlines tell us we're going home.
Yes.
The darkness is about to be invaded by the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
And what's amazing to come to understand, you know, if midnight is when we're going home, right now we're living in the 11th hour. And even 11th hour, you know,
we're
decisions.
Past the 11th. We're like 11:58, 59.
Yeah. But even in 11:58 and 59, God is still seeking
Amen.
Us.
Amen. Still knocking.
He
that
is
door is still open.
He's trying to live in our lives. He's still trying to be Amen. With us. He's wanting to. Let's open our hearts.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Denny, right now, can you get us our next quiz question?
All right. Okay, folks. Quiz question number 3. What new command did Jesus give his disciples at the Last Supper?
I love here in the question for the show, the question for the quiz here, it's got new command as in, like, you know, quotations, you know. What new command...
In quotation.
...did Jesus give his disciples at the Last Supper?
And it's in the book of John.
That's right.
It's in the book of John.
Hey, if you
around chapter 13.
That's right. Man, you're really generous, Denny. You just want everyone to win.
Absolutely.
Hey, 0491-064-669 is the number to text this morning. If you know the answer to that one, send in the correct answer to that number. You'll go into the draw to win our Faith FM show bag, which we're giving away this week. We're going to have books. We're going to have music. We're going to have DVDs. We're going to have merch. It's going to be amazing. The only way to win it is to answer more and more questions. Mm-hmm. So again, 0491-064-669. What new command did Jesus give his disciples at the Last Supper? You're listening to The Breakfast Show this morning, and we are going to be talking to Mark James about, well, getting into creation, science, and particularly today, we're going to be looking at DNA and protein and whatnot. Hey, Mark, have we got
Good
you
morning.
Here? Hey, yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
Hey, great to have you on to talk about everything creation, science, and particularly the little organisms that are working in our body to construct DNA and move proteins around, do all these amazing things. And we're super grateful to have an expert like you on the line where you can let us know exactly how that works and why it's fantastic and amazing and important.
And it's a pleasure to be with you. And greetings from across the ditch as well.
I love the Kiwis. I spent 6 years there, Mark, and it's just an incredible place, good old Kiwi land. Mm. And came back home with a little Kiwi.
You came back home with a little Kiwi. Well done.
Yeah, I came back home with a little Kiwi.
Hey, what part of New Zealand are you in actually, Mark?
Sorry, what part of New Zealand? I'm in Auckland.
Ah, okay. Coming from the, is Auckland the capital?
City of Sales. The City of Sales.
The City of Sales.
No,
Fantastic.
Not the capital. Wellington's the capital.
Wellington is the capital. That's what I thought. But Auckland is a big city that I have been to.
The biggest city.
I jumped off the tower there. There's the big sky tower. Mm-hmm. You know, I jumped off that thing. It's great. Hey, but let's get into our interview this morning and get into talking about this fascinating video that we left in the comments on the post that we put up promoting this interview today about, yeah, protein synthesis and how these machines are working in our body to get these things done.
It all starts with DNA. I'm sure you guys have heard of DNA. I mean, DNA, sometimes called chromosomes, but they're the most complex molecules in the known universe. And there is this incredible data storage system. We like to say that a 2-millimeter diameter drop of DNA can store the same amount of information as a pile of encyclopedias stretching from the Earth to the sun.
Wow.
Yeah. And for those people out there who've forgotten what encyclopedias are, a 1 terabyte hard drive is considered an okay size for a hard drive nowadays. A 2-millimeter diameter drop of DNA is the equivalent of 4 million 1 terabyte hard drives.
Have mercy.
Yeah, that is
it's incredible.
2 millimeters.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
That's off the planet.
It's an incredibly sophisticated encryption or coding system as well. It's got language alphabets. It's got an encryption key. It has the equivalent of words and sentences and paragraphs. It even has rules of grammar. And it's got an amazing decoding system. And the video that you guys, I think you've uploaded it to your social media pages. The video that you're seeing there is an animation of how the information in DNA is decoded and used to manufacture proteins. And proteins are one of the main building blocks of life. And proteins consist of a sequence of amino acids. And there's 20 different amino acids that are used in living organisms. And the sequence of those amino acids is crucial to how the protein works. So in the video, and we're talking on the radio about a video, but I'm sure people can have a look at it when they get a chance. But what that video shows is how the information in the DNA is decoded and then is used to form the protein. And it starts with, there's a machine called RNA polymerase, which travels up and down the DNA strand, and it unwinds the DNA. And it actually makes copies of the instructions, and the copy is called messenger RNA. And the length of the transcript, the length of this messenger RNA, is actually governed by start and stop codons inside the DNA. So you get exactly the right length of transcript with exactly the right coding to make a specific protein. And then this RNA, messenger RNA, it goes to a machine called a ribosome. And this ribosome, I'm probably a little old school here, but the easiest way to describe it is like the old music cassettes, where the tape of the cassette passes across the head and the head reads the information on the on the tape and plays the music. Well, the ribosome operates almost exactly like that, except it's far more sophisticated. And this messenger RNA gets fed into the ribosome, and it gets read by the ribosome, and the ribosome then attaches amino acids together to form specific proteins. And it's just astonishing. And the interesting thing is that life requires molecules that are 100% pure. And we can't do that in our laboratories. We can't exclude all the contaminants. But in the cell, we get 100% purity of the proteins because they're manufactured one piece at a time. It's just really astonishing. The ribosome is just an amazing piece of equipment. And when people look at the video, they'll see just exactly how it works. It's fascinating.
Now, I think the big question from this, and you've done a very good job to outline exactly how it is that the process works and how complex this process is, you know, all of the different moving parts that are needed to synthesize protein and to enable this to happen, which is very foundational to the life we live. Without it, we would die. Is the big question for us, particularly regarding the Bible, regarding creation and whatnot, is this even possible to happen by chance? Like, is it possible that these different processes can just take place, particularly as you're talking about, you know, purity that isn't able to be matched in a laboratory and whatnot? Is it possible that this came together without any intervention?
I would have to say, and obviously I'm very biased here, but absolutely not. I mean, these are the most sophisticated machines known to man. And they are microscopic in size. You've got to remember that these machines operate inside of a cell. So they're tiny. I mean, when we manufacture machines like this, we manufacture them on a size that we can manipulate. These are actually inside a cell. So they are tiny, but they are incredibly efficient. And they're just, they're so sophisticated. But these machines, they prevent an even more major problem for evolutionists. Not just because they're so sophisticated, but what you're looking at there, the ribosome, it's a very complicated piece of machinery that makes proteins. But ribosomes themselves are made up of about 50 different proteins. And the components, so the instructions to build those proteins are coded in the DNA, and you already need a working ribosome to read the DNA. Can you see that this is a real chicken and egg situation?
That's right.
I mean, there's no point having DNA unless you have a ribosome to decode it, but you can't get the first ribosome without first reading the instructions on the DNA. So it's a which came first. And there is no solution other than an intelligence put this whole system together at exactly the right same time, in the same place, in the same instant that all these things came together. Evolution cannot explain that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I found that just fascinating. Reading, you know, watching the video that you sent us, and some of the information that I've read on CMI as well, on creation.com. Yeah, just about the very fact that the machines are made by the very thing that the machines are making. And how unlikely it is that can even come into existence. There's just no logical way that could take place. It is absolutely fascinating. And I think as well, like, you know, all of these things, you know, happening and taking place, and all of these DNA readers that would then enable a cell to work, which then a group of cells and a very large amount of cells then, you know, getting together to spawn and enable, you know, life. I just think there, for all of that to happen, is the millions and millions of years, the hundreds of millions of years that the timeline is projected for humanity to have evolved over. Is that even enough time for that to happen if it was just happening by chance?
No. Firstly, I'd argue that the hundreds of millions of years are a fantasy.
Sure.
The biblical account tells us that this happened around, you know, creation happened around about 6,000 years ago.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Even if there were hundreds or millions or billions of years, that we know that the chemical reactions that produce these things would actually go in the wrong direction. Rather than producing these machines, they would pull these machines to pieces. So time it does not save evolution at all, because time basically just results in everything falling to pieces. So no, there is no way in the world that these things could come together by chance. And what I would recommend to people too is we have a lot of other animations like this on our website. If people go to creation.com, go to the Media Center, and then just start looking for some of these animations, they will find there are lots of them there. And every single one of them just points to not just to the creator, but to a creator who is far beyond anything that we can imagine in terms of what we can manufacture ourselves.
That's fascinating. So it is quite astounding for me, Mark, that there is a counter view to the creation model. that just does not make sense in any which way. It's not even possible. And that tells me that what God says in Romans chapter 1, in connection with creation being clear evidence that there is a God, that there is a divine being, that there is someone who is the creator that has made this possible. You know, so it's incredible. It says, you know, for since the creation of the world, his visible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's Romans 1:20. So how do you explain this alternative view? Like, where do they come from this? Okay, they want to discount God, but what kind of gymnastics do they need to do?
The gymnastics are huge, to be honest. And you've got to realize that this is not a battle between science and religion. This is a spiritual battle. Mm. These people have decided that they do not want to bend the knee to the Creator God. And because of that, they have to somehow come up with explanations for everything we see around us. Mm. And the more we know about the workings inside the cell, the more difficult it becomes for these people to explain it, but they don't want to look. They're blinded. The Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Mm. And that's exactly what we see happening.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, we have less than a minute left. Is there anything that you want to leave with us before you go?
Look, I would strongly recommend anybody who's out there who's doubting that there is a creator, go and have a look at these videos and just, you know what, don't take what the world's saying, look at it and look at it from your own perspective and make your own decisions about whether this is something that could have happened by chance. And once you've made the decision that these things can't be happening by chance, you then need to find, you need to get to know the creator.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you so much, Mark, for joining us and, yeah, representing CMI, the amazing work that you guys are doing there. We want to point you to creation.com and, yeah, the fascinating articles that are there all about how it is that science proves that creation is true.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.